This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. At the 10:30 portion of the first hour, we welcomed a guest onto the show. You got to know who that guest was. If you do, and you're the first caller in right now at 800-636-1067, you're winning a pair of tickets to see your Redskins take on the Panthers October 14th, this Sunday at FedEx Field. Tickets are still available through redskins.com/tickets or through the FedEx Field box office, courtesy of the Washington Redskins. Get the details online now at thefandc.com/contests. Right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it's time to get you ready for another weekend of DFS and season-long fantasy play. To do that, our buddy Evan Silva, who's as smart when it comes to previewing and breaking down all these games as anybody. He is, of course, the senior football editor at Roto World. Evan, I want to start with the amazing performance last night of Saquon Barkley. I got to tell you, as bad as the Giants offense is, and they are tumultuous, I've got him in a couple leagues, and he's basically a one-man band right now. Is what he's doing with the pass catching out of the backfield in PPR leagues sustainable all year long, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's that good. You know, and I really expected this. If you watched him coming out of college, I mean, I thought he was a cross between, like, if you combine the strengths of David Johnson and LeSean McCoy, you know, and maybe even with superior tackle breaking, like physicality, than those guys in the open field. I mean, he is so hard to tackle, man. I mean, he's unbelievable. I definitely think that it will keep up. What's really amazing is that the Giants have Odell Beckham, you know, Sterling Shepard, one of the better slot receivers in the league, Saquon Barkley, you know, already maybe a top three NFL running back, and they're averaging below 20 points per game, and it just goes to show you the value of having a competent quarterback in the NFL, and the Giants do not have that.
Yeah, not at this point. I'm going to go around as many things as I can with you, Evan. Tight end has been awful this year, and if you were outside looking in on Ertz, Kelsey, I mean, even Gronkowski's been a disappointment, I think, to some degree, a second-round pick for a lot of folks. Greg Olsen comes back this weekend. Is that somebody that you're feeling safe to deploy, or should you kind of go with one of these old faithful guys, a.k.a. someone that's not been delivering for most of the year?
Yeah, so he is coming back from – Greg Olsen is coming back from a Jones fracture in his foot. He suffered the same injury last year. I went back and looked at – you know, when he came back, did he come back in the full game? Was he a full-time player? He wasn't. You know, he played 38% of the snaps in the first game. They kind of eased him in. He had one catch for 10 yards. And then he kind of had a little setback, and he didn't play the next week. And then the week after that, he did play a lot, but he had zero catches against the Vikings. And then finally in his fourth game back, he had a big game against the Packers. So I'm treading real, real carefully with Greg Olsen because that progression of being eased in, you know, clearly not being back at 100%, and then, you know, taking pretty much a full month to become productive, you know, I don't want to bet on him in that kind of a, you know, going through that kind of a progression again.
Evan, how are you handling the Steelers' backfield in the next couple of weeks? Bell comes back into the bye week. I mean, if you have Connor, does he automatically go to the bench? If you have Bell, does he automatically get back into the lineup?
No, they're talking about using these guys in a committee. Big Ben, who pretty much runs the show offensively there now, you know, he handpicked his offensive coordinator. He got rid of Todd Haley, you know, shoved him out the door, picked Randy Fichtner to be the OC there. He is running the show on offense, and he says that James Connor deserves a role. And, I mean, I agree with him. James Connor has been excellent. And also that makes sense from Le'Veon Bell's standpoint because he's worried about his usage and, you know, he wants to get paid next offseason and he doesn't want to get hurt. So that will lower his injury risk. I think that both of them are going to be RB2s in fantasy, you know, not elite scorers. I don't think that they are going to throw Le'Veon Bell back into that 30-touch workhorse role.
Couple matchups here that, you know, people are on bye weeks now and there's some injuries, attrition, et cetera. Some matchups I want to get into with you, Evan, just, you know, these are subs, these are fill-ins. Guys like Mike Williams against Cleveland, Jordy Nelson against Seattle. Thinking of, you know, some flex guys or wide receiver twos and threes. Give me a couple sneaky plays potentially for this weekend as, you know, some folks are dealing with bye week and injury.
CJ Uzoma at tight end. People are really hurting at tight end right now, yeah. as you kind of mentioned earlier. CJ Uzoma last week played 92% of the snaps. He ran 28 pass routes. Those are good usage numbers for a tight end. He only saw four targets, but Andy Dalton didn't throw the ball a whole lot last week. I think he had 20 completions, season low. So I think that he's going to have to throw the ball more this week against the Steelers, teams that are facing the Steelers are averaging 41 pass attempts per game. So that's going to create more opportunity for the pass catchers. Tyler Croft, who CJ Uzoma was expected to share time with, is out with a foot injury. So CJ Uzoma is going to be out there a lot. And the Steelers have been really bad against tight ends. Tyler Lockett is a guy who stands out as, you know, people are still kind of on the fence about him. He's an every week starter, man. And he should be teed up confidently against the Raiders, who cannot rush the passer, and therefore they're just getting killed deep downfield on bombs. And Tyler Lockett already has three plays, three receptions of 40-plus yards, and that's not including a 39-yard touchdown that he caught last week, just burning Marcus Peters.
How do you normally handle when a quarterback plays against a terrible team? And the expectation is that they're going to win by enough that maybe they're going to take the foot off the gas pedal. I'm thinking the Vikings this week against the Cardinals. Like, would you rather start a guy like Kirk Cousins who's lighting it up or Cam Newton against the Redskins, knowing that the other game might be competitive enough that you're going to get four quarters of production from Newton?
Yeah, it's a good question. I did a study on this a couple of years ago, and I updated it last year in those situations. People really overthink this in fantasy. I myself used to overthink this. You want quarterbacks that are in situations where they offensively are going to impose their will on the opponent. And you don't want to overthink it. So I think that Kirk Cousins is a safe start, but if you're deciding between him and Cam Newton, I think that Cam Newton is the better way to go. He's been a higher floor producer, and because of that rushing value that he brings to the table, I mean, he's just a guy that you pretty much never, ever take out of your lineup because he has a huge ceiling and a pretty high floor.
At Evan Silva on Twitter. Follow him if you want to get smarter about the fantasy foosball. Any matchups you're trying to avoid this weekend? Maybe, you know, normally every Ram, obviously, that you've got is a normal, easy deploy, but it's going to be cold and snowing in Denver. Is there anything you're avoiding maybe about that matchup or any others that you just want to wash your hands of this weekend?
Pretty much anyone on the Dolphins right now because everyone's like sharing time in the offense. They have transitioned to Frank Gore being the primary inside runner. He's got 23 carries to Kenyon Drake's 9 over the last 2 weeks, and they're facing maybe the best defense in the league, Chicago. I'm concerned about this Redskins backfield. I don't know what we are going to get in terms of usage. So many guys banged up. You mentioned the Rams. I'm sticking with the Rams. I think that Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks are both going to play based on the comments of Sean McVay so far. And, you know, this Broncos secondary is just not what it used to be. We saw Robbie Anderson, who had done nothing in the first four games, go off against it last week. Bradley Roby has really, really been struggling at outside cornerback. And their other outside cornerback position has been a revolving door between Adam Jones and Tremaine Brock, and neither of those guys are healthy. So stay strong with the Rams receivers. I know that there's snow in the schedule, but or on the forecast, but all we really get worried about in fantasy is wind. Don't get worried about the snow. If there is wind in the forecast, then we can start to worry. But I don't think that that's going to be the case in Denver on Sunday.
At Evan Silva on Twitter. There's a few weeks ahead for a lot of leagues where they have, you know, year-long situations where the trade deadline comes up around Thanksgiving or a little after. Is there a name or two right now you'd start telling people either sell high on this guy immediately or buy low before this guy gets going?
I'd probably wait for another big game from Calvin Ridley and then try to sell him. He's just not getting a lot of targets. He has scored a lot of touchdowns so far, but those things tend to regress. Now he's coming off a relatively slower game. You know, I think he had like 50 or 60 yards last week and did not score a touchdown. So ideally you would have dealt him last week. But this could be another big game against him or for him against Tampa Bay. What looks like is going to be a shootout. I would start to think about trying to ship him. I think that Keenan Allen is a really good buy low right now, has not scored a touchdown since week one. And a big reason for that is just because the Chargers have been not throwing the ball. They played some bad teams, the Raiders, the Bills. You know, they have not been stressed by their opponents. So Philip Rivers' pass attempts are down. But once those pass attempts start to come up, that's going to mean more opportunity for Keenan Allen. And I think that he's going to have a really big second half. He actually did the same thing last year where he started kind of slow, and then he was just a monster in the second half.
Evan, love it, buddy. Appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the football weekend.
Likewise. Thanks so much, guys.
See you, bud.
Check out Evan Silva's work at Roto World. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Have not yet taken your temperature on Redskins Panthers, an hour and 15 minutes of the show. So let's do that next. Who's got to be great? What's your gut feel on this game? We'll dive into it on Grant and Danny. I'm Grant. He's Danny. This is The Fan. In case you're curious, because it's fall, I've got a little quarter zip, long-sleeved, dry fit jacket working. It's an EMP 180 weight loss gift. This thing's awesome,
yeah.
By the way.
Oh, it's really comfortable.
So comfortable.
Yeah.
It's so nice. So I am flying out to Boston this afternoon. I'm actually going to leave from here.
Shipping out to Boston.
Your boy still doesn't have a car. It's only been a few weeks since I popped the tire and a rim. So, you know, it takes a while to fix this, apparently. So I had to Uber here.
Uber.
I was the guy who brought his luggage upstairs to work. So I've got my suitcase.
Upstairs luggage guy.
My computer bag. Got my caps hat. I like to travel in caps gear so that people can be like, oh, congratulations on the cup.
Way to go, man.
I love it. Like, what shirt am I wearing right now, you ask?
What
if you notice,
wearing?
It's my Better Great Than Never t-shirt.
Ah, yes.
But if you notice, go back and check the film. Going to and from the airport on our last trip.
In New Orleans?
I wore caps gear.
How about it?
So the bit that I do is every time I travel anywhere in this country, I wear Capitals gear so that people know, in case they didn't know. The Washington Hockey Club Stanley Cup champion.
I like some brand association by my friend Grant Paulson. That's smart. That's wicked smart.
It's actually kind of selfish. I just want to get a little attention and credit. I literally have been craving for years the, hey, man, your team won the championship. Congrats.
Yeah, it's only been almost 30 years.
I'm going to ride that into the ground.
Please do.
So until people stop telling me.
Hop on the surfboard and go.
Absolutely. But that's kind of my whole goal. I need less videos of people fighting in public places, by the way.
It's a new thing.
Why do I always get those on my Twitter feed? I don't follow WorldStar or any of these sites that should have these. I need less Twitter feed videos of, like, here's a fight in a McDonald's. And also, why are two adults ever fighting in a McDonald's?
Well, there's a story that I'm going to get to. Should I do it now? I'm not going to do the whole thing now because we have something. But there's something that you really like, which led to a fight.
Oh, a gender reveal.
Yeah, which led to an actual fight that where police were called and thousands of dollars of damage occurred and had nothing to do with fireworks.
I heard all about this. So basically, the fight was over who was going to clean up in the parking lot.
That's right.
Where was the restaurant?
I think it was an Applebee's.
That feels right.
It feels right. So because the whole thing is so trashy and so stupid and so selfish, and the manager of the place was like, hey, instead of shooting confetti off and ruining everybody's time, you guys want to take that nonsense outside? And they did that, and they made a huge mess outside the restaurant and just expected other people to clean up for them, which is very emblematic of the culture and of the sort of how selfish and stupid these reveal parties are?
I'm going to do a gender reveal party. I'm either not going to do it in public, or I'm not going to make a mess. Or if I do it in public and make a mess, if both of those boxes are checked, I'll clean it up.
Good.
Seems like the reasonable thing to do.
Well, the reasonable thing to do is just not to have one.
No, that's
the most reasonable.
Unreasonable take.
Most reasonable thing to do is to celebrate the actual baby itself, not what kind.
This is now twice that you've done this, where you use a story. A couple of weeks ago, it was a gender reveal party that led to
millions of dollars of damage.
$8 million worth of damage and a massive wildfire. But you say that because that happened, because some moron did something stupid, and in this case, because some idiot decided not to clean up after himself, none of us should be able to have gender reveal parties.
These are cases that illustrate how stupid they are. But at a minimum, there's no upside to them. They're all dumb. They're all underwhelming. Everybody claps no matter the result. So you pretend that you're happy with either one, right? Even though the exciting thing is the baby. Not which lane it goes in.
Well, I hit a pothole on Route 66.
Yes.
And it's cost me a couple weeks of Ubers and not being able to drive.
It's a terrible thing.
So tell you what, Danny, you should never drive again.
Ah, I see what you did.
See what I did there?
Yeah, which is, again, a logical fallacy and incorrect, because there is a productive thing to driving, getting to destinations. There's nothing productive about announcing the gender of your child. Nothing.
Very productive.
There's no upside to it.
Everybody now knows the gender.
I have a son. There we go. I was able to do that. There's no need for a party, no need for anything selfish. The fun part.
Not selfish.
The fun part is the wife getting the baby shower and all the fun gifts and all the cool parties and things, which, again, which kind it is not something that we should be doing anything for.
Where does this rank on the no fun Rouye scale all time lack of fun?
Oh, this is not at all.
Viewpoints of Danny Rouye.
This is the sitting in an armchair of correctness.
Wrong.
This is the worst thing our society is doing right
now. You are turning your nose up at a party, a reason for you to get together with loved ones at one of the happiest points of your entire life. I want people around me that I care about, because me and the person I care the most about are going through something very exciting, and you're going to be here when we get news that will alter the complete direction of the remaining time that we have. Very minimal time, by the way, in the grand scheme of things, on this spinning rock.
The child is the child. That's the joy. I'm so happy for you guys.
That's the guy who yelled F yes, F yes, F bleeping yes at the doctor's office when you found out you had a boy.
Correct. I didn't have a party about it. I didn't shoot off any blue fireworks or shoot a dart at a blue balloon or anything nonsense like that.
No, but you're trying to do a holier than thou, like if you have a daughter, it's just as good bit. That's what you're trying to do.
Well, when the thing comes out pink and everyone
really
goes,
but that's not really what you
Yay.
Were thinking at the time.
No, I was thrilled to have a son. I absolutely was. But again, there should be no party. That should not be happening. The party should be over the fact that a child is coming. That's
right.
The party.
I think that's what the party is for. Because whether it's a blue dust ball, whatever happens, or it's pink.
It's the sacrifice bunt of
parties. Everyone just wants the baby. No one cares if it's a boy or a girl. You're just there for the party to find out what it is.
It's a sacrifice bunt of parties where everyone claps and there's a result that's not that great either way. An out's made, so the defense claps. An out's made, so the offense claps.
This sacrifice bunt of parties, you're saying? This reminds me of a time. Well, this has never happened, but let's say that it did. Let's say you leaned over at one point and showed me a picture of a chick on your phone, okay?
Okay.
And you said, what do you think of this girl?
Okay.
And I said, I think that those are fake. Not really for me. And you said, well, they're in this world. So they're not that fake.
So they may have been augmented.
Right.
They may have been changed from their original state, but they're
here. But your point was they're real.
They're here now.
Right. And what I'm telling you is there's no such thing as a there's no such thing as a party that's a sacrifice bunt.
Ah,
see what I'm saying?
I see what you're going.
Is the food real? I think it is.
The food could be real.
Is the people that are around you, that the presence of your loved ones, is that real? I think that it is.
Yes, attendees are real.
See, that's a real party then.
But the enthusiasm's fake.
By the way, when I just laughed out loud, it's because I have Twitter up in front of me, and Thom tweeted a video of like basically a botched powerbomb, and I don't know why I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen, but go to Thom's Twitter account
and
check it out. It's like these two donks. They're like in a creek, and this guy definitely gets powerbombed onto his neck, and I don't even know if he's able to walk right now, so I shouldn't laugh. But it's just a botched wrestling move. What is that from, Thom?
It's really too hard to explain.
Okay.
Suzuki hits the Gotch.
Gotch style pile driver. Gotch, I can't believe we're talking about this on the air.
I can't either.
Causing Mecha Mummy to explode.
There's Mecha Mummy. There's a wrestling promotion in Japan that only does matches in odd places. So amusement parks, campgrounds. This match was in a creek.
It looks like the guy died. At Tom Daly, too, if you want to see the video
in question. This is where, like, Thom's got a bunch of things that I understand. I'd say, what would you say, Thom? About 15% of your Twitter account is about Japanese wrestling promotions?
Ooh, higher.
Higher 20?
It's going to go up.
Yeah. 20, maybe, I would say 40%.
No, oh, not wow. 40.
It's a lot.
It's maybe a third. And I just go, I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't even know. Because if I start asking questions.
If you can watch that without smiling or almost laughing, you're a better man than I am.
There's like electricity coming out of the guy.
Redskins, Panthers. Who's got to be great? What is your gut feel? Let's take some calls on the Skins next. Where are you guys at? Got a game coming up that the Skins need to get back into first place. 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny. We'll answer those questions next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Shout out to Gylo, who put together a list of the four things that No Fun Ruye,
it's a pretty good four,
in order, is most famous for. Number one, worst thing No Fun Ruye's done, denying. How about telling the COO of the Washington Redskins when he was in studio, Brian LaFemina, that he would not come to FedEx Field even if he sent a limo to his house to pick him up?
It's very nice offer. It's very nice offer.
Number two, he hates dogs. Number three, he hates celebrations during sports. Number four, he hates gender reveal parties. That's a pretty good list.
It's not bad. I don't hate celebrations during sports. I prefer other things, but I don't get mad. In other words, like, that paints me as someone that, like, wants people thrown at because they flip their bat, or wants, like,
no, but
Cam
you don't
Newton
like
to be
them.
Dead. Yeah,
on a binary, you would get rid of them if you could touch a button.
Yeah, that's fair, I suppose. But, like, I don't personally enjoy them all that much. But that's not I'm not a hardliner on that. That makes you sound like a hardliner. Right? That makes you sound like Joe Simpson. He's like, I don't like these T-shirts these guys are wearing. You know, I'm nowhere near that level. And the hating dogs thing's erroneous. I mean, I grew up with dogs, and I love dogs. I just don't want to clean up dog poop. That's all.
Did you say you love dogs?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I do. I grew up with dogs. I've always had them. I love my sister's dog. I just don't want to clean up dog poop. I clean up plenty of poop.
There's zero evidence of you even respecting dogs, let alone loving them. Thom has a top four here of plenty of fun, Ruye. Number one, eating a muffalata intended for four people.
Mm.
Number two, sitting in your hotel room. That's a good one.
It's so fun.
Number three, sleeping. Number four, silence. That is plenty of fun, Ruye's four things.
Playing a grinding video game by myself in the dark and the cold for hours. Oh, my God.
That should be on that list.
Oh, that's a top three.
Who's got to be great if the Redskins are going to beat the Panthers? We want your calls on this at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. We can go back and forth because there are several players you could name here. First guy I'll go with, if you're going to beat Carolina, who's got to be great? Let's just start at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Alex Smith has played two exceptional halves. In those two halves, the Redskins have dominated their opponents, and they have made up for second halves where the team could do nothing, and they've still won going away. Over Arizona, over Green Bay. I don't think that's a coincidence. That's happened when they've been running the ball successfully, but the two things help each other out. Alex Smith has to be a lot better. He gave them no chance against New Orleans. He's got to give them a much better chance against Carolina.
Your edge rushers, Preston Smith, Ryan Kerrigan, because you'll be tested a number of ways. Again, a lot of the play fakes and the read option kind of looks that are meant to freeze you, to slow you down, et cetera. They're able to run to the edges, talking about Christian McCaffrey, a lot of counter stuff. And also when it comes to pass rush time, Cam Newton ain't easy to bring down to the ground. That is a big, strong dude that is able to get rid of the football, that's able to break tackles and shake free. They've got to both play excellent in this game. They each have to have a sack, maybe a couple tackles for loss. They need drive-stopping plays from their edge rushers.
A year ago, Preston Smith had 4 sacks. Right now, he had 1 in every game.
Yep.
This year, he has 0 sacks, and he really hadn't even gotten particularly close. In a contract year, oh, by the way,
yeah,
where he wants to be paid substantially. And while sacks are not the end-all, be-all at the OLB position, or any position for that matter, you're not getting paid if you don't have a nice fat number in that sack column. It's the only way to get money in this league as an OLB. People can watch the film and they can say, oh, you helped against the run. You did a good job forcing quarterbacks to stay in the pocket.
Look at Junior Gallette, for example. Last year, that PFF ranking where he was top 5 in win percentage getting past offensive linemen, just not employed right now.
I would add to that, by the way, that the defensive line is actually more important in terms of pass rush against Cam Newton.
Mm.
The guys that up front are pushing the pocket into his face, Ioannidis, Allen, Payne. I think Cam Newton-type quarterbacks actually get more flustered with the pressure right into their grill than they do off the edges, because they can run away from Ryan Kerrigan if the pocket's not collapsing. They can go the opposite direction and break out of the pocket if Preston Smith gets home. But when you got to go backwards or into an oncoming linebacker, that's where the big problems reside. Who's got to be great if the Redskins are going to win? This is a Jordan Reed week for me.
That's mine, yep.
2 reasons here. Number one, generally, after weeks where he is not involved enough and they do a terrible job getting him the football, they go right back to the drawing board. Jay Gruden and his staff sit down and they go, what in the heck were we thinking?
Mm.
How did we get through 4 quarters of football and we only had our guy throw the ball at Reed twice and he only caught 1 ball? A brilliant catch, by the way, along the sideline.
Amazing play.
Tapping his toes. No other tight end in the league makes that catch. I'm confident in saying that, for 21 yards. But how do we allow that to happen? So I think they force the issue a little bit more. That's first. But second, and more importantly, you may not have Paul Richardson. You may not have Jamison Crowder. You might have a shell of Adrian Peterson. You might have a banged-up version of Chris Thompson. Someone's got to sit down and put all this food down. Someone's got to break out a spoon and polish off this brownie and ice cream. It's got to be Jordan Reed. I think he's got to be awesome if they're going to have a big day offensively.
I've got to add to that, because Carolina is, you think of their linebacking core, you think of their safeties, you think of the way they play defense. They're fast. Luke Kuechly flies around. Mike Adams is an older player, but has been an effective safety. He's got a couple picks already on the season. Dante Jackson's got 3 interceptions. You know, Captain Merlin is still around, kind of lurking. Shaq Thompson, another guy that can run a little bit. This is not an easy Jordan Reed game. That shouldn't matter. Your bread is buttered this week with Jordan Reed if you're the Washington Redskins in that room setting game plans. You can't count on Doxson, both because of ability and because of injury. You already mentioned the other receivers that are hurt. I don't know where I'm going other than Jordan Reed. I'll have him go left, have him go right. They've got to keep him on a pitch count a bunch this year. He was in 60% of the plays, offensive sets against New Orleans, and they try to give him rest. You may not have that luxury this week. You may have to ride Jordan Reed an awful lot. He's their most effective offensive player, and they need to use him.
I don't worry a lot about the Panthers' wide receivers, to be completely honest with you. So I'd like to put a DB on that list. But I don't necessarily think this is a team that strikes up the band for like 70-plus yard touchdowns like they used to with Ted Ginn. However, the guys that have torched the Redskins the last 2 weeks are not household names. Geronimo Allison, 2 games ago against the Packers,
right,
is a Jag. And this past week, Tre'Davious White, what was the dude's name?
Tre'Quan Smith.
Tre'Quan Smith, thank right. you. I don't even know who that is. I'm going to repeat that.
Well, he had 1 catch coming into the game.
Right. Sounds awesome. Those guys are not the types of dudes that should be getting behind you for 60-plus yard touchdowns. Okay? They're just not.
They shouldn't be.
So,
but
Josh Norman, how about you be great? How about you not give anything up? He got back to work this past week after a second straight embarrassing performance. This time he got benched, and he was at Redskins Park yesterday answering questions about if he cares enough about football.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the motivation you need to come out and play inspired rock and go out there and actually put up a banner game where you only give up 2 catches for 16 yards, I don't know when it's going to happen. Not to mention, who in Carolina's wide receiver core should you really worry about?
I mean, Funchess is a decent player.
He's okay.
He's fine. But he's not the burner, deep threat superstar that way. He's a big-bodied, physical, crisp kind of route runner. He's just a guy.
DJ
really.
Moore is, I think, ultimately going to be a good player, but he's not there yet. I mean, Devin Funchess is averaging 4 catches in, you know, 50 yards a week.
Yeah, he's not special.
He's never gone for 65 catches or 900 yards. If he chews you up, we got real big problems.
So this is a McCaffrey game. This is the guy that is their multifaceted weapon.
He's the man.
He's everywhere. So he's averaging about 80 yards on the ground per game. He's averaging about 50 yards in the passing game. He does everything for them. So they'll do the occasional two-back thing where they put C.J. Anderson back there, and they'll fake it one way, pitch it to McCaffrey. They'll put him in motion. They like their matchup on McCaffrey versus almost everybody. If you get stuck with one of those linebackers, be it Foster, be it Brown, be it even Harvey Clemens, that's a disadvantage. That's the guy that scares you the most. And then just Cam Newton making some kind of superhero play, you know, where he shakes off a couple tacklers, scrambles on 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8 for a first down, because he can do that, and he's still really good as a playmaker more so than a quarterback.
Next hour, we are giving away a pair of tickets to see the Redskins and the Panthers because it's Redskins Friday here on 106.7 The Fan. Your Beltway Blitz at noon will get you ready for the Caps weekend as well as Skins football. Winning off the field is next, though. You got to call us at 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines and tell us what's gone right in your day. Do it for Bruce Allen. How are you in the win column? And that's just fine with me.
Do you real quick want to go get coffee at the Starbucks inside the Target? Listen to the silence. One of my best friends
that
in the world.
Fell flat.
We used to work together at the Department of Defense. One of
the
my best buddies.
Laughter. He set you up for failure.
One of my best buddies. I was at his wedding. Pretended
sure
like he had no
were.
Idea what I was talking about.
Or who you were, by the way.
Yeah. That's terrific. By the way, he's doing he's part of the. Have you seen the commercials for it? There's
that joke fell flat.
Shut up, Danny. There's a Conan O'Brien and Friends stand-up comedy tour that he's doing, and it's coming to Warner Theater in D.C.
Oh,
next
really?
Month. Yeah.
That's worth going and checking out.
Should be awesome.
Very cool. Rory Scoville is who we're talking about, by the way. Let's get to winning off the field. The way we do this is you call us at 800-636-1067. You tell us how you're in the win column today. These are little teeny tiny mini moral victories. And not game changers, big picture in life, but things that make your day a lot better. By the way, the Beltway Blitz at noon, and then we'll get into what a Redskins win would mean, a Redskins loss would mean. Still to come today. I got five things on the Panthers. Looked up some nuggets I'll throw out there for you.
Ooh, I won nuggets.
On this week's opponent. I got two really good winning off the fields today.
You want to double dip?
I do. Here's my first. I got a text from my buddy. So my boy is flying up to kick it in Boston for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. I am flying to Boston for the Red Sox and the Astros League Championship Series. I've got my bags right next to me. I'm going to the airport after the show. But he got tickets. He's like, oh, you're going to be up there. I love Boston. I'll go to a game, whatever. So he woke up today at the exact minute that his flight was supposed to take off from National Airport at like 6 a.m.
What?
Completely overslept.
Oh, no.
Only to find out, as he was like, oh, I missed the flight, he gets a text saying the flight's delayed until almost 7. He's like, well, I still missed the flight, but I'll just start getting ready. The flight got delayed 3 times. He got to the airport a little bit after 8 for a 6 o'clock flight, walked right up, and got on the plane to leave.
That's
winning
perfect.
Off the field?
That's perfect.
That's the ultimate winning off the field and on the runway. The second way I'm winning off the field, I had everything all packed up. I generally forget one thing that's very important every time I travel. It might be a phone charger. It might be some form of identification. It could be anything.
Right.
So today, stuff right by my front door, ready to go. I come downstairs to leave, and I realize that my wife has put my credential for the ALCS, Red Sox Astros series, that was shipped to me by MLB Network Radio, on my bag. I had not packed it. I was going to leave it at my house. Best case scenario, would have remembered today at some point. Probably not.
Had to go back home or
driven
something.
Home. Yeah. Worst case scenario, I would have gotten to Boston without a credential, and I don't know how I would have gotten into the game. Because she did that, I am.
Winning off the field.
What do you got?
That is pretty
winning
special.
Winning on the field.
Thank you very much, Bruce. There's a number of ways I could go here for this one.
Hey, Bob.
How's it going, sir? I will say this.
Danny Rauher.
I had a couple left, and I didn't know that I did. I told you about these things. I found these low-carb wraps that aren't really as good as like high-carb wraps, obviously, because high-carb wraps are delicious. Carbs are the fabric that bind us and provide so much joy and also my weight gain. But I didn't know that I had any. I had a couple low-carb wraps left last night, so I made myself a homemade EMP 180-friendly pizza because I was so Hungy Town USA, and I'm not violating any tenets. It was good, therefore I am.
Winning off the field.
Good for you.
Thank you, sir.
Brendan in Jersey, what's up, buddy?
Brendan.
Hey,
Curtin Royce, first of all, congratulations on 20 years. It's a fantastic accomplishment.
Thank you.
Huge
Brennan. Deal for
Means
us.
Means a lot.
We're
to
getting
us.
Stanley Cup rings.
Yeah, did you hear? We're getting fitted for rings.
Yeah. It's tremendous.
Thanks.
So if you'll give me, indulge me with a minute here, I'll give you the full context. So a couple weekends ago, I took a bit of a road trip to go see my Army football team put a beatdown on Buffalo. And heading into the weekend, I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to be near Canada. I have a passport. I've never left the country before. Is there anything cool happening in Toronto? So I look it up, and somebody was showing an IMAX print of The Dark Knight for its 10th anniversary. So I'm like, yeah, I'm jumping on that.
Nice.
So I go up there. And as you'll recall, and you guys have helped me actually properly rate this, the underrated Batman Begins, the climax of that movie comes down to the monorail, but then in The Dark Knight, it's like, what happened to the monorail? You don't see it anywhere. I found the monorail in The Dark Knight. It's in one shot. The establishing shot of Bruce Wayne's apartment building before the fundraiser for Harvey Dent.
Oh, out
if you
the
look in, yeah, if you look in the it's like a helicopter shot. If you look in the lower left quadrant, you'll see it's small, but it's there. You'll recognize the monorail from Batman Begins. I noticed that. Therefore, I was
winning off the field.
I love that.
I love the attention
movie
to detail.
That
haters.
He's great, by the way, and he does, like, movie reviews. He has a blog he does.
Yeah.
Brennan does a good job. Let's go to Herb in Alexandria.
Yeah. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
So, first thing, I have been working both of my jobs all week. I've had a hellacious week just saying. I am very tired. I'm on my way, getting ready to walk into my part-time from 12 to 6, go to my full-time job from 9 to 5:30 in the morning. I am dead to the world tired. I just found out that my mother is going to be taking care of my son in the morning. My wife will be going to work. I will be getting as much sleep as I can. And also, I will be pulling a No Fun Daddy, playing my video games for hours.
Excellent.
Wow. I am.
The perfect
off
day.
The field.
A lot of sleep, a lot of video games.
The perfect day.
Seth, College Park, how you doing?
Love my best friend, Seth.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bob.
So this is actually kind of close to an on-the-field win because it's how I get paid. But I managed to fit 40 boxes into a 2003 Ford Taurus Air 4.
Winning off the field.
How big are these boxes, sir?
They're, they come in two different sizes and... I don't know.
off the field.
He's struggling
that's
right
the
now.
Brian Regan UPS box bit, which right. is one of the great stand-up comedy bits of all time.
He was struggling with the size of the box.
Height is 13, width is 30, and I don't know what girth means.
Congratulations on the boxes. Rich Olney, how are you?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Bob.
So my wife's on break from her college classes, and she says, hey, on Sunday, let's take a day trip down to D.C. with the kids. I respectfully declined. Mm. I want to stay home and relax. Mm-hmm. There was no fight, no argument. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
But is there quiet resentment?
Thanks.
Probably, but it's quiet.
It's very quiet. It's a good point, Rich. It's quiet resentment. Yeah,
probably, but it's quiet is a great line.
Ryan, Southern Maryland. That was a good line. How's it going?
Hey, Gary. Hey, Dale. How you guys doing?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Robert. Oh, Reggie.
Doing well. Hey, my winning off the field today is my last day at the office. I start a new job on Monday. I have 48 hours of freedom, no responsibilities. But on top of that, the wife is taking the kids up to her friend's house on Sunday. I will have a NFL responsibility-free football day. I can't wait for it. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
That sounds amazing.
It's so perfect.
That is, I got to be honest with you, something that I think you got to figure out. If you're going to be having children,
yep.
how to navigate is Sundays in the fall.
Yeah,
that to me feels like we should start a tradition where you get together with your sister at the park every Sunday at like noon.
It's
you know
a
what I mean?
Potential relationship landmine is what I would say. There's great potential for downside, but if it can be navigated properly, oh, can it be joyous?
The Beltway Blitz is always joyous. Redskins win would mean what? Loss would mean what? That's what's coming up to kick off the 12 o'clock hour right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Guys, Danny Ruye here for my pals at Ted Britt Ford. I want you to
have... Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Stingray here.
Mr. Stingray, give me a second here. I got to tell you all the good things here. I could do a Paul Feinbaum bit as well, but I think two people would get it. Here's what I want you to do. Have the same experience that I had and that Stingray could have when you go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford. Great customer care, great customer service, the best car buying experience in town. That's how they've been in business for almost 60 years, okay? Go see them at Ted Britt Ford. You get 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. Does that sound like a good deal?
The Jack Attack!
Well, it's Ted Britt Ford, sir, but that's either way. I want you to go have the great experience I mentioned, but then also get some great deals, okay? It's like the DAC attack.
What you gonna do, brother?
Well, you're gonna get a great deal on a car. How about $178 per month for 36 months on a new EcoSport? How about $199 a month for 36 months on an Escape? The Explorer, just $319 a month, Stingray. And Ford Fusion, just like mine, just $199 a month for 36 months.
That state's coming for you.
So is Ted Britt Ford. Go see him and get a great deal on your trade-in, as I mentioned. Great customer care, buying experience. Ted Britt Ford, the best game in town. New pre-owned vehicles, Ted Britt for life. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get the Ted Britt lifetime vehicle coverage. Big stuff like powertrain.
That is not good for you.
You're right. It's great for you. They'll do Virginia State inspection as well. I love these guys. You got to go see him and tell him that he's
here. What's he going to do, brother?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.